Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the show. Today is Thursday, October 24th. Tomorrow is Friday, and I love Fridays. So as we move into the weekend, I'm trying to figure out what to do. I never find anything to do. I always get bored, so I don't know. I look forward to the weekend, and then, But at any rate, flying solo today as far as hosts, but I do have a very special guest in the studio. And even though a lot of stuff is happening in the news, we're not going to touch any of this politics stuff because everybody else is, you know. So let me introduce our guest. His name is Dr. Gregory Jantz. Welcome to the show.
Oh, good to be with you. There's plenty to talk about.
Right? Yeah. So, but we're going to leave the politics behind because everybody else talks about it. And this is more of an entertaining type of show. And you seem like you have a lot of energy and good positive energy, so that's good.
Well,
we could use a lot more of that.
Especially with our topic, it's going to be important.
Yeah, exactly. And so you've written not just one book, but you told me 39?
You're holding my 39th book.
39th book. I mean, my God, you go on his website and you don't know even where to start. It's a whole little bookstore of just your books. It's amazing to me. And where do you find time to live? I mean, if you write all the time.
Oh, you know what? I just do a little bit each day.
Yeah.
And this is my 36th year as a founder and helper and a counselor at the Center, A Place of Hope. So I have an incredible team, so I'm able to do some of this.
Wow, that's awesome. So you write them all by yourself, right? Or do you get some help on the...
I always have help because the grammar, you know, it's got to look good.
Yeah. Well, that's true, but that's the editing part. I mean, as far as writing it, this is all you.
This
right?
is me, yes.
Wow, amazing. So what's this place you mentioned now?
Oh, yes. So 36 years ago, I founded a place called The Center, A Place of Hope is the name.
Mm-hmm.
And we treat individuals from all over the country for depression, anxiety, eating disorders, executive stress. So we're a facility where people come. They come to us because probably the whole person approach is a little different.
Okay.
We were voted in the top 10 places to get help for depression in the country.
Wow.
So we approach it a little bit differently. That's why I'm excited about...
Yeah.
I'm still passionate after 36 years about
That's amazing
work.
To yes. me, you know, because I think it's a major problem in the country. I will remind everybody and let you know that I'm not really suffering, but I was diagnosed with bipolar, and I am on medication now.
Yes.
So, but this is very close to me because for many years I've been very depressed.
Yes,
and or was very depressed. Now, thank God, I kind of forgot what it's like, you know, because you don't want to remember what it's like when you're depressed.
But Sam, you had a journey.
Right, I've had a journey. And so that's why, you know, and I've shared it many times here. So this really touches me. And I believe there's a lot of people that need that kind of help. Because one thing about depression, you feel you're alone. You know, you feel nobody else knows what you're feeling and nobody can relate to your pain, you know. And I remember it being actually like physical pain, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
And, you know, you feel isolated that you can't really connect and people don't understand the depth of it.
Right.
But some of that depression can be a lot of, it's despair. And it's like, I don't feel hope for my future. And so I just want to acknowledge that with you because that's really a big deal.
It really is, you know.
And people feel too alone.
Yeah. No, absolutely, you know, because you feel you're the only one who feels that way. Yeah. Nobody understands what it's like, you know. And you get pretty desperate and stuff. I know many years I've looked for help with different psychiatrists, different medication, therapy. Nothing worked, you know. So it took many years, I think maybe 15 years until I was finally diagnosed correctly and found the right cocktail of medication, for lack of a better word.
You really hit it right on the head when you say diagnosed properly. So many people suffering from depression and anxiety don't really get a good diagnosis, and then they do years of experimenting with different medications. And so I get that, and we've got to approach this differently now.
Right. Now, your approach, I'm sure you talk more about lifestyle than medication itself, right?
Well, I mean, lifestyle is going to be really important.
Right, right. But do you also believe that medication works?
Yes.
You do.
So we use medication, but we also believe that we need to add to more than just medication.
Right.
So when I say whole person, I'm looking at, well, what's your nutrition? What's going in your mouth? Are there any other addictions in your life that could be contributing? I'm going to look at, are there nutrient deficiencies?
Wow.
What's going on in brain chemistry? We know, we even look at our digestive system. What's going on there? We know that there's a relationship between the gut and the brain, of course.
Really? So you're saying that even if you don't eat correctly, it can contribute to how you feel?
Oh, absolutely.
Wow.
Yes. So we're going to change a person's diet.
Right.
We know that's just one piece, but we've got to change a lot of pieces.
Right, right. And I just glanced at your book here. It's called Healing Depression for Life. That's your latest book.
Yeah.
And I saw that you really have body, mind, and soul pretty much,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
So it's a holistic thing.
Absolutely.
Wow.
We just find for long-term success, Sam, that's what we have to do. You've got to cover the whole person.
Right.
Now, we can get relief from medication. That's good. But we want to add to it so we can have long-term success.
Right, right. You don't want to just depend on that. And besides, I know that many times you just have to learn how to deal with the depression itself, not just with life, you know, but how you become, you know, because I know I was very awful to be with when I was just vulnerable and exposed.
Right.
Without any medication or anything, you know, I was impossible to deal with. I think that led to my first divorce. So, it can ruin families and everything, you know. So, I know that. Before we delve in deeper, let's talk a little bit about you.
Sure.
So, you've done it for 35 years. You're a doctor, right? A doctor of...
My background is psychology and health.
Okay.
So, and then I have a team of about 50.
50 people.
Yes.
Wow.
So that's everything from the dietitians to the psychiatry to the medical. We integrate natural health care as well.
Right.
Counselors.
So how did you get into this in the first place?
Back in college.
Do you even remember?
Well, I met my wife in college and I had a vision for, I was studying psychology, but I really felt that psychology alone, you know, didn't have the answers. We needed to do more than that.
Right.
And so that's why we had a vision for a place called The Center, a place of hope. And we began, it was 36 years ago.
Wow. So you started it together as a team.
As a team.
Wow. Very cool. So, now, did you at any point suffer from depression and things in your life? I know sometimes that you have to experience it to want to help other people.
You know what, Sam? I came through a very dark journey, and I think I had the helper's disease. I said, I was doing really well. We were doing a lot with eating disorders. And you know what? I just work 6 days a week, then 7 days a week. You're seeing clients all the time. I had a crash. I really did. Mm. And I couldn't wait to get home and have my half gallon of ice cream, too. You know, right? Because you stop taking care of yourself.
Right.
And I know that it probably took me a year just to rebuild physically. I mean, I was overweight. I didn't feel good. Obviously, sleep was affected. So I had a journey of depression that really was probably my own doing. I thought I was doing good by helping, but it's subtle and it's sneaky. But after a while, it's like chronic stress. It's going to take a toll.
That's true. But it wasn't from chemical stuff in your head.
Well,
I created
a chemical.
You
imbalance.
Did, huh?
Yes.
So we can actually do that to
Absolutely.
Ourselves. Wow, that's very interesting. So it's not necessarily you're born with it, although some people are, right?
I think you can have a tendency towards that.
Right.
Where it's easy then to tilt that way.
But right.
Yes.
Because the reason is I'm asking this is because in my family, I know that there was a history of that kind of thing.
Yes.
I mean, there were like two suicides in my family.
Okay.
A cousin and an aunt. There were two attempted suicides. There was addiction. There was verbal, emotional abuse and things like that from my dad's side of the family. So I'm thinking maybe it goes in the family. I don't know. Does it?
We do see patterns.
Okay.
Very clearly we see patterns.
Right.
But just because you had a family member, I think we need to be careful to say, well, you don't have to do it either. We've got to be preventative.
Right.
And
right.
intervene. But yes, we do see patterns.
Right. So because I feel, you know, many times I felt like, where did this come from?
Sure.
You know, I mean, suddenly it's like all my life I've been like irritable and
right.
and down. But it's like normal for you, you know, until something happens in your life. I think for me it was getting married and having my first child
yeah.
and everything. And that brought everything up to the surface.
That's right.
You know? And so it's probably things like that that happen like life events.
Right. Trigger points.
Exactly. Yeah. That's yep. what it would be. Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Very interesting. So where did you go to school?
So college? I'm from Seattle area.
Right.
I went to a school called Seattle Pacific University.
Uh-huh.
Where, again, that's where I met my wife. Now, this has been a few years ago.
Right, right. So, have you always lived in Seattle? Were you
yes,
growing up there
yes.
and everything?
So in our facilities, right yeah. on the waterfront, uh-huh. you look out and you see these gorgeous mountains.
Wow.
So the setting is really healing.
Right.
You know, sometimes we've got to get out of our normal environment
mm-hmm.
and travel away and change our environment to work on some issues.
That's so, true. See something else, not the yeah. same thing every day, right?
Change your environment. In right. our case, you know, people get about 6 hours of direct service a day for like 4 weeks, 6 weeks, whatever they need.
Mm.
And so we're actually looking at them as a 1,000-piece puzzle. We all have different pieces to the puzzle, right?
Right.
And so we build teams, professional teams, to help find those different pieces to the puzzle.
Right.
We always believe there's a missing piece to the puzzle. And for people who come to us, they've suffered from depression 20 years,
mm.
You know, we've got to look at what are those missing pieces that haven't been looked at before.
Right, right. And is it true, though, that in places like Seattle, where it's gray a lot and rains
yeah,
a lot, more people are depressed? Is that true? Or do you think that has anything to do with it?
Well, I think it could be a tendency.
Okay.
Maybe we have lower vitamin D levels.
Oh, I see, because the sun's not
yes,
out as much.
But here's yeah. what we're finding.
Uh-huh.
In L.A., and I was just talking to somebody earlier today about this,
mm-hmm.
vitamin D levels here, generally speaking, are low.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Vitamin D deficiency could be one of the reasons for depression.
Really? So why are they low? I mean, if we have the sun and everything here.
Too much time inside, in cars.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So we may have the sun, but we're not really out.
So often it's true.
Yeah, right? Wow. So you were here on a book tour, right? You came for a couple of days
to
L.A.
Yes.
Are you traveling all over the country too?
Oh,
or
just
here?
tend to travel once a month
uh-huh.
because my heart is there in Seattle at the facility at A Place of Hope. So
right.
That's still the main thing I do. But I do, there's so many good answers for depression now.
Right.
Even though the World Health Organization, Sam, says that depression is the number one disability in the world. So this is a global issue.
Right.
But of all the times to be struggling with depression, we have more answers
right.
and more solutions than ever before, but people don't know it.
Right. Now, let me ask you this. The lifestyle, modern life, do you think that contributes to it, or have there always been a lot of depressed people?
Well, I think there's things that can contribute for it. We have, we've got to talk about technology.
Right.
You know,
social media and
stuff.
Yeah. Comparing ourselves to everybody and,
yeah.
and amplifying our feelings and emotions. And
yeah, if you feel insecure, just go on social media.
Right, yeah. So, look at the quote-unquote, the good life of other people.
Exactly.
Wow.
So we've got to look at, well, what's the role of technology? One right. of the other things that's happening is we're seeing addiction start in younger ages. So I'm really concerned the age group, 12 to 17 is particularly vulnerable. We've got technology addiction. We're seeing a lot of even sexual addiction issues early on because of exposure to pornography.
To pornography online.
Online.
Wow.
And that your early exposure tends to be around age 9.
Really?
So
wow.
You can see what's beginning to happen.
Right, right.
We've got cannabis, starting early. And all this,
right?
I mean, we could even say gaming. So overall, addiction starting earlier
right.
is going to set a person up for depression.
Right. And you can see our young people already, you know, just glued to their screens all the time and stuff. But essentially, they're just copying what we are doing, you know?
Well,
so as adults, I think we need to modify what we're doing,
sure,
too, right? And educate the young and everything. So so tell us some of the causes for depression. I mean, we were talking about nutrition. We were talking about genetics and everything.
Yeah.
And technology. What else?
Okay, so maybe we should look at what are some of the overlooked causes of depression. A person that has a low thyroid issues,
really?
Could create depression. We've mentioned, it's amazing, vitamin D deficiencies will create depression. How often that's not looked at.
Yeah.
And so that's a simple blood work.
Yeah.
I'm going to say hormonal issues for both men and women. That would be testosterone, that would be progesterone, estrogen. So hormonal issues, we need to look at that.
Right.
And then I'm going to say nutrient deficiencies.
Yeah.
We don't always have great diets, and so we look at, are there B vitamin deficiencies? And then we're always going to look towards one of the other areas is the gut.
Right.
What's going on in our intestinal flora, the good bacteria.
Right.
There's a lot really good information about probiotics and depression. So we have something called this, it's a relationship between our gut, which is sometimes referred to as the second brain, and our brain.
Right.
So we have something called a vagus nerve, and they communicate and things travel back and forth. So whatever's happening in the gut is going to be affecting the brain.
Right. And so far you mentioned several, and they're all just body stuff, you know? I mean, it's not, well, you didn't even get into the mind yet.
No, I know.
Right, so, wow. Yeah. So people have to really look at their body and their nutrition, and not only nutrition, but like you said, vitamin deficiencies and things like that.
I'll give you a quick story. We had a guy who came to us, 20-some years of depression, tried all the medications. Nobody had ever asked him, what do you put in your mouth? In other words, what do you eat and drink?
Right.
All these years, he'd never been asked that question.
Wow.
So he came to us because of our work with depression.
Right.
And this is going to sound amazing, but he was averaging about 20 to 24 cups of coffee a day.
Are you serious?
And he had done that for years and years and years.
Wow.
Now, I don't know how you can drink 20 to 24 cups of coffee a day, but that's what he was doing.
Wow.
So
now, back to back, he was constantly drinking it all day.
All day long.
All day long.
So that was the predominant reason for his depression. Mm. That was creating all kinds of hypoglycemia. It was creating nutrient deficiencies. So now I'm from Seattle, where a little coffee is required. Okay.
Right.
But not 20.
But you don't want to overdo anything.
Exactly.
Right.
So that's just an example. Sometimes we're doing things that are creating depression that we don't really realize it.
That's true. Absolutely. And, you know, I recently changed my diet and everything and stopped smoking because I had a stroke 3 weeks ago.
Oh.
And so the doctor, first of all, told me, he says, you got to stay off the cigarettes or you'll be right back here. And I started eating better, you know. So never paid attention to what I eat. I always ate only stuff that tasted good and looked good. And I'm feeling great, you know. I got to say, I'm feeling better than I felt in a long time, you know.
Okay,
so
we
I have
keep
to agree with you. Yeah.
Yes.
So I have to agree with you that you got to watch really what you drink, what you eat, and so forth.
Absolutely.
So I agree on that. Yeah, for sure. I can see where you come from on that.
Yeah. Well, keep it up. Good for you.
Yeah, I have to. Sometimes we get that warning, you know, and then sometimes it's too late, but thank God for me it was just a warning.
Yes.
You know.
So, well, the next thing we need to look at then is movement or exercise.
Right.
What am I doing as far as, you know, I call it movement because sometimes people don't like the word exercise.
That's true, right?
So, yeah. So we got to keep moving.
That's true. The body needs that.
And the difference that can make, we know that moderate exercise, and this has been shown over and over, moderate exercise, so nothing extreme, has been shown to be as effective as most of the antidepressants when we do it over time. So you get that 60 days and people really begin to notice they feel different.
Right.
It's releasing the dopamine, the brain chemicals, your serotonin levels improve in your brain, and all has to do with mood.
Right. Wow. That's interesting. Like they say, if you don't use it, you lose it, right?
So
especially with the body.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So you recommend exercise for everybody. What do you mean moderate? What would that involve?
Well, if you do something 3 times a week, mm-hmm. okay, close to an hour as possible. I don't care if it's walking, but the goal is be active. 3 times a week.
Don't just sit on your butt all day like we do here, you know. Either in the car or in the office or at home, we're always sitting.
Yes.
Right. I remember reading that recently that they had a research on sitting, and they said it's probably as dangerous as smoking, you know, for not moving.
I know. Isn't that amazing?
It is.
So let's keep moving. And granted, if you're depressed, you don't feel like it.
Anything.
You go, no, I'm not going to go for a walk. No way. Because you have a lot of apathy. You feel like, I don't have the energy. I can't do it.
Right.
So.
And I mean, God, there's so much to talk about and stuff. And I wanted to ask you, so we'll get to addiction in a little bit too. But you also sent us like a list here of like depressing professions, right?
So, oh, yes.
So what you do as far as your work and your career can be dangerous to your health, right?
Well, sometimes there's some careers that are a little more vulnerable to depression, yes.
I see, and then they become addicted and develop their own addictions and things like that.
That oftentimes is the next step, right?
Really?
Yeah.
So addiction is sort of like self-medication in a way, right?
Yeah. So one of the things that you don't feel good, nothing's working, so maybe you turn to food, and you self-medicate. Mm. Maybe you turn to alcohol. Self-medicate, misuse prescription drugs, but it's all in an effort to change how you're feeling. That's why I'm calling it self-medicating.
Right, but those are shortcuts, right? That's if you don't want to work hard on
and
moving and eating right and all that stuff. You just pick up a glass of wine or something, you know?
And that's not going to help you in the long term.
Right, it's just like a shortcut. You know?
We want to have long-term success.
Right, wow. So what are some of the, there's also, and we'll get to suicide too, because I know that's a big part of this whole depression thing.
Sure.
And that's how many people end up, which is very tragic. So we talked about the body. Let's talk about the mind a little bit.
Sure.
And how do we approach that as far as alleviating depression and treating it?
Well, one of the things we need to look at is just our family history, or has there been significant loss in a person's life? Has there been early trauma?
Mm.
Trauma could take many different forms.
Right.
Could be emotional abuse, could be sexual abuse. Has there been trauma? We know that early trauma can really set one up for depression and anxiety.
For life.
Yes.
Pretty much.
Yes.
Wow.
So I'm always going to look at the history of trauma. We know that early trauma can also alter brain chemistry. So
right.
it's a physiological reaction.
Right. Jeez. And I hate to think of some of the things that people go through. And so you're saying that sometimes the things that happen to us that mm-hmm. we think can actually affect our chemistry.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes. And, you know, let's say we grew up in a tough, negative environment. Maybe there was emotional abuse. Maybe you were called names and the family environment wasn't that great.
Right.
So you kind of learn to be depressed.
Right. That's
just
true,
just
right?
That environment.
Yeah, yeah. So, and some people, so if they grow in a home where there's a lot of adverse things to experience. I can imagine how a child would be depressed and then carry it on through their lives,
right.
You know, as they get older and
you
stuff.
You just learned it.
Right, exactly. So now if that is the reason, if that is the cause, would eating right still help it?
Well, it's going to be one piece to the puzzle.
Okay.
So it's going to create some good and some positive. Good nutrition always helps our brain.
Right, that's true.
But it won't be the entire solution.
Right, so you would need therapy as well.
To work on resolving the effects of that trauma
right.
and really work on that.
Right.
Absolutely.
So in your organization, is it usually one-on-one? Do you have group therapy as well? How does it work?
Oh, sure. It's very fascinating. We actually look at a person and go, okay, based upon your age and what your needs are, we actually build a team. So if you need a little more medical care, or you need more on the counseling side, we also use natural health care. So we're building a team, and we're working with you individually. There are some groups, but it's about 6 hours a day.
Wow.
And then we're going to feed you good.
So it's full time, right?
It is.
How long does something like this take? Do people come in for a certain amount of time?
Usually an average of 4 weeks.
Okay.
Sometimes they'll stay a little bit longer.
Okay.
And it just takes that long to really put it all together.
Right. But it's not like a rehab type of place,
I wouldn't use rehab.
Yeah.
It's more of intensive counseling.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is a lot less stigma, I think, with that, you know, than going to these AA meetings and everything. Although those probably do have their own value too, right?
Oh, sure. If that keeps a person, absolutely.
Right. Because after all it does is just teaches you to have a balanced life, right? The more healthy life where you find some kind of purpose and meaning to what you're doing.
You know, that's another piece. I'm glad you mentioned that. Right. We need to look at, okay, so I recover from depression. My life's heading a different way. What's the greater picture? What's my purpose? What's going to give me meaning? Sometimes people change careers because they begin to look at, okay, I want to make a difference now in my life.
Right. Yeah, that's true. I mean, because if you don't have something to sustain it, you'll probably end up right back where you are, right?
So
you need...
sometimes a new direction.
Right. And you need something more than just crutches, you know, which I think that's what addiction is, you know.
Yeah.
It helps you deal with some things. Like I said, even the cigarettes I was smoking, probably a crutch, you know, just something to help you deal with your stress, with whatever bothers you, you know.
Mm-hmm. You know what? And we're right here on our table today. We've got these bottles of water,
right?
Okay.
I'm glad I didn't bring my Diet Coke here. You would have been angry with me, but okay.
No, let me just say, depressed people tend not to drink water.
Really?
Yes. So when you're depressed, you usually want something else.
You know,
sometimes it's a lot of soda or too much caffeine.
Yeah.
But water is really, really important.
Really?
Water can affect mood, affect blood pressure, affect concentration. So I get people drinking water.
Wow. That's interesting. You see, it's all the basic stuff that we don't think about.
It's basics, but usually if you're depressed, you haven't been drinking enough water.
Really?
So maybe you're dehydrated. So that's gonna help other things work.
Right. So you would get dehydrated even if you drank, but something else, right? I mean, if you drank a lot of soda, that doesn't replace the...
It doesn't replace the water.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, we need to know that.
We do.
Yeah, so the water probably like cleans out your body too.
It's very important for the detoxification. Water has a lot to do with energy. Again, I mentioned concentration.
Right.
So, yeah.
Wow. So it's all around us. We just have to look at it.
We got to do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everything.
So I'm going to have a drink.
Yeah, go ahead. Now, I know there's also like seasonal thing, right? Like, what do they call that?
Seasonal affective disorder.
Exactly.
Which is sometimes called SAD.
Right. And I know I feel that sometimes, like when the days get shorter and everything.
Yeah.
Right? It's not a... It affects the mood, I think.
There is something to be said about it, and there are people who are very sensitive to that.
Right.
Now, there are some states where we see a lot more seasonal affective disorder. Alaska's pretty high.
I would imagine.
Yeah. North Dakota, Washington, where I'm from, has some seasonal affective disorder as well.
So, because you get days that are pretty short.
Short or maybe cloudy. It feels like there's not enough sun.
Dark, right. Yeah. That's why I was asking about Seattle, because I know it's pretty gray there a lot of the time, right?
Don't tell everybody, but we have wonderful summers.
Yeah.
It's just the fall, you know, that's when the rain hits.
Okay.
But it's just a season.
Right.
Remember, Washington's very green.
That's true.
And beautiful.
That's what I like about it, you know. And so I haven't been... too much of Washington, like I told you, but I saw Oregon, which is pretty similar.
Yeah. Yep.
And yeah, you have to have the rain if you want the green, you know.
That's right.
I mean, I mean, California used to be green, but not anymore. You know, you go everywhere and the brush is just yellow, and things are dry and everything, you know. So some people like that, but the green is disappearing here. I feel that, you know. But interesting to say that you said even in a place where there's a lot of sun and everything, yeah, people still get depressed. Because here, I guess, like there's a lot of professions and stuff, like people in entertainment that probably get depressed because of the environment they're in, right? So let's talk a little bit about that.
Okay,
let's do it. Have a lot of actors, and I saw in your release,
yes,
you wanted to talk about actors and comedians and all that stuff. And I can imagine all the pressure and everything, right?
Yeah.
I mean, people move here from somewhere else usually, a different part of the country. I know many times, like, you have beautiful people.
Sure.
Externally beautiful people that are maybe like the hottest individual in their town or something. Then they come here and they see everybody's more beautiful than they are.
Oh,
you know,
no, yeah,
that would be enough to depress anybody. You know, so okay, let's talk a little bit about that. Why would you say that actors are high risk as far as depression?
Well, they are, and
right,
we see a lot of actors. We see comedians who really are struggling.
Mm.
And part of it is the direction they're going, but a lot of times if it's a comedian, you know, the only time they feel alive or the only time they feel good about themselves is when they're on stage.
Yeah.
And so so there can be lots of ups and downs for them.
That's true. And they probably don't make a lot of money either, right?
Well,
I mean, most comedians probably...
Very few
right,
really make it.
Exactly. Not everybody is Eddie Murphy or Chris Rock or any of those.
Right.
Most are just struggling.
Yeah.
I know. And we get a lot of comedians here at the radio station, and I see that every day.
Yes.
You know, they're really struggling.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they say that many comedians are depressed people, right? And
yeah.
I don't
and
know why, but
sometimes they feel like my best creativity has come out of my depression. Well, good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's could be a good use of some of that depression. But a lifestyle of depression, I'm suggesting, is just not the way to live.
Yeah, that's true. So what do you suggest? Leave that profession or just have it as a side gig or something, right?
Well, you're going to have to really do good self-care. You're going to have to keep yourself healthy. So often just the schedule or late nights or traveling, all of that doesn't promote necessarily a lot of health.
Right.
So we've really got to look at, how am I going to maintain my sanity?
Right.
How am I going to take care of my health?
Right.
Because a lot of times you're going to later on see health issues, medical issues.
Really, yeah. So I guess, you know, you have to take it seriously, because the bottom line is you're competing with a lot of people. There's a lot of rejection,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
So mentally you have to be strong to deal with all that, you know, and I guess not everybody is.
You do. And this is where I wouldn't do it alone. You know, one of the things with depression is the isolation.
Yeah.
And so the comedian who, you know, only feels good when they're on stage, and then they isolate rest of the time.
Mm.
And a lot of times it's easy to get into alcohol or drugs, and you start to go down a path that, you know, you really don't want to go on that path.
Right. Now, let's say, and obviously depression doesn't discriminate, right? It happens at
yes,
any age and stuff.
Absolutely.
How can parents, what are some of the signs that parents can look for in a child to figure out whether they're depressed or not?
You know, and we are seeing more kids than ever before struggling with depression, and I'm going to say anxiety as well.
Mm.
Well, we've mentioned isolation, the kid that suddenly cuts off from their peer group.
Right.
And no longer wants to be around friends. Instead, they just stay at home, put those earbuds in their ears, and they disappear. And
mm,
and so they've isolated.
Right.
I would also look maybe for academic failure. Are there some struggles where they feel like, man, I'm not doing well academically, so that's pulling me down.
Right.
Has there been something that has happened at school that could fit under the heading of a bully behavior?
Mm.
As a kid, being emotionally abused?
Yeah.
Is there cyber bully behavior going on?
Right.
So those are some of the things to look for. Have they suddenly changed to their peer group? Now are they with a different, and maybe it's not a healthy peer group.
Right. And I guess if you're a parent that's in touch with your kid, you probably notice right away they're changing, right? I mean, their behavior has changed. You know, they're not, if they were a good student and then suddenly they're not doing very well in school, obviously there's a reason.
Yes. Right. And we need to also look at sometimes teenagers go through seasons. It's like, okay, and as a parent, you go, well, when should I be concerned? Well, if this has gone on 30 days, 60 days, I'm going to say be concerned.
Right.
But it's not uncommon because the two questions every teenager has is, who am I? And number two is, where do I fit in?
Right.
So you see at times maybe some behaviors that concern you, but some of that's normal development.
Right. And then some young kids, I guess, teenagers, whatever. I mean, I've heard that even kids under 10 sometimes kill themselves.
Yes.
Right? What would make someone so desperate to that point where they feel there's no other way?
I'm glad you've mentioned this, and we're seeing more suicides than ever before and in the younger ages.
Is that true? More than ever before?
Yes. Here's what the averages are. And again, these are averages. But every day in the United States, about 2,500 suicide attempts.
Wow. Attempts.
Yeah, attempts.
Right.
Of those, we're averaging right now about 133 a day that would be a successful suicide attempt. So,
wow.
So that's 100 plus lives.
Right.
We're losing every day. When we break those down, we do see the younger folks as high on the list. And we're seeing it's another trend right now. It's men age 50 and above with a real increase in suicides.
Really? Wow. And I know also like war veterans that come back from, PTSD and stuff.
Yep.
That's something that's sometimes ignored, but a major problem.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, after what you see in a war, it would leave some scars, I would think.
Well, I think there can be the post-traumatic stress disorder that we hear about.
Right.
Certainly is true, but sometimes then a person develops an addiction as a way of coping.
That's true.
So not only do we have the depression and the post-traumatic stress, now we have an addiction. And so this is why to have success, we've got to deal with the whole person.
Right. And they have to deal with reintegrating themselves into society.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I feel that my theory is that when you make a soldier, you sort of like deconstruct the person and build them as a fighting machine. And then they come back here as a fighting machine and they don't fit into society, you know, because that's not what we are on a daily basis. And it would become very hard. I mean, I can see that.
Sure.
You know, I can totally see that. And but some people just feel that, how can we make a depressed person see that there's another way?
Well, I think one of the things happens is a depressed person may feel like, oh, I've already tried everything.
Right.
Yeah, I've done this Medicaid, done this, I've gone to counseling. And so sometimes they feel like, yeah, I've already done everything. And that's usually when we see somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of apathy about starting something new.
So sometimes people that come to you are pretty far gone as far as their depression.
Oh, yes.
They've tried everything.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, they feel like they have.
Right. So now do they take the step or do their family and loved ones, do they?
Well, both. Ask,
both?
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're saying that someone who's pretty depressed will still consider coming to you and getting help with a program like this.
Well, that's when we see them. They've had this chronic depression that hasn't gone away.
Right.
And so at points in their life, they feel a lot of despair. They're even wondering, should I even keep living? So they're questioning their life.
Right.
So these are the types of situations that we do see.
I see. Now, let me ask you, when someone is going through a hard time and stuff, they're probably not working a lot. They probably don't have a lot of money and stuff. How can they still receive help from you? Do you deal with insurance companies and all that stuff? How does it work?
Yes. for many who come to see us, they're using their medical insurance to come.
Okay.
And so they're able to get help.
Right.
We have others who, they're private pay.
Right.
So, but here's the thing. Don't ever let people worry about, I can't do that. It's going to cost too much.
Right.
You know, don't ever let that be the reason not to get help.
That's true.
You'll be surprised at what options could be there.
Really?
Yes.
And yeah, plus when you get better, you'll probably be able to repay it.
When you get better too, it's like, oh, I am so glad I did this. My life has radically changed.
Right, right. Yes. No, I know. I think about that sometimes. And I know that I've been in very dark places with my depression, maybe suicidal ideation, but not really. I mean, many people say, yeah,
sure,
I think about it, but I wouldn't do it, you know. But some people are just so desperate enough that
right,
that's the only way, right?
It is.
For them.
Yes.
Yeah.
That they feel desperate, they feel despair, and then you're really not thinking clearly, because when you start thinking about, well, it'd be better off if I wasn't here, why don't I just kill myself, and you start to have these thoughts, that's really a sign that you've stepped, you kind of have one foot out of reality and one foot in reality.
Mm.
And, people have never, ever regretted getting the right kind of help.
That's true. I mean, so how can people that are around depressed people, what can you do? I mean, what can you do to put some hope in that person?
Oh, sure. Well, if you're a loved one and you're living with somebody who's really struggling, I think that's a challenge.
Right.
Because it's like, you try to help them, you don't know what to do, so it's frustrating for
everybody. Very frustrating, yeah, I can imagine.
For everybody.
Right.
So one of the things is be an instrument in their life that is an instrument of hope. Where's hope come from? Hope comes when I get a plan. So help them get a plan. And it may be, don't try to control them, but maybe you're going to help do some research. Maybe you're going to read my new book.
Healing Depression for Life.
You're going to start to get new information.
That's true.
Be a part of creating a plan. When we start to have a plan, we start to get some hope.
Right. And that's why you named your place Hope, right?
a place of hope.
Yeah, there you go. What's the name of the place again?
Well, it's a fascinating story.
Right.
Our clients actually renamed us. We were known as The Center. And on client surveys, over and over and over through the years, clients kept writing, this is a place of hope, a place of hope.
Uh-huh.
I said, well, that's what we can do. So now we're The Center, a place of hope.
Right. And that's true, because I thought about that sometimes, that if you have hope, you'll keep going.
Yes.
You know, it's the time where you throw up your hands is when you feel, I've tried everything and there's nothing.
But hope comes when I start to get a plan.
Right.
So if you're living with somebody, be a part of a plan.
Right. And probably another thing is you don't want to be alone, right? I mean, isolation you were talking about cannot possibly help. And that's why they have like group therapy and things like that.
Here's the thing. The more we isolate, the more our symptoms are going to increase.
Yeah.
So here's what I want.
Because we're in our head, right?
Yes.
I mean, we're not really paying attention to what's outside of us.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Go on. You were going to say something.
Oh, just we can use today, for those hearing our voice, Sam, we can use today as a day of decision. I'm going to do something. I'm going to get some help. I'm going to make a call. And it's so easy to postpone.
Yeah.
Here's what I often hear. I hear people say, I wish I wouldn't have waited so long. I wish I wouldn't have waited so long. So today, make a decision.
Yeah, exactly. A place of hope, folks.
Yep.
And you get to go to Seattle, which is very, very nice
beautiful.
Place to be. And cool. So is that like an inpatient type of thing? Sleep there?
It's a beautiful facility where people stay, but the housing is different. It's very nice condominium style housing, so it's not like a hospital.
Right. Wow. Or a rehab even. I mean, it sounds like a place where you'd want to be, where it's not depressing, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Environment makes a big difference, so it's a very nice environment.
Yeah. Sounds good, man.
Great.
Yeah. I wish I'd heard of something like that, but unfortunately, I ended up with, when I had depression, they sent me to a rehab,
mm-hmm.
which was not really the place I needed to be, you know?
Sure.
I mean, I had to stand there and say, hi, I'm an addict and stuff, and I'm not, you know? I'm just depressed, you know?
Sure.
And so they couldn't really help me there, and that just depressed me more. So a place of hope like yours would have been a much better option for me, I think.
Sure. And yeah. Sometimes, you know, folks don't know where to go. Sometimes they get a little misled about where to go. And
right.
So I always say, you know, call three different places. You know, call us, sure, but call three other places. Get a sense for how they're treating you on the phone. Get a sense. Do you feel hope?
Right. Yeah. Well, somebody's calling. I wonder if they're calling regarding this. Let's just take the call real quick. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah. So my question is, how would you help out somebody who's a senior citizen with depression, you know, who does the same thing every day, who eats the same thing every day? What kind of tips might you give them?
Oh, that is a good question. Thank you for this call. So a senior, they're not going to want much change at all. And so it sounds funny, but we start to use very simple baby steps. I do want to know, is there significant medical issues for the senior that could be contributing to the depression?
Well, you know what? Let me say, my mother, my father passed away about 5 years ago. My mother became depressed. And, you know, she sits in the house every day. She eats ice cream, like you mentioned earlier. She watches TV, like, you know, 20 hours a day. And I don't know. She does see a therapist, but just is not helping.
Right, right. Yeah. So one of the things that we need to do, you know, so there's been significant loss in her life. But there are those who I would say... seniors got to keep, they have to keep an activity and they have to have a community. We see a lot of depression with seniors because of what you've just described. They're all just sitting around watching TV. There's no reason to keep going.
Right.
This is where some of the community, when I say community, I mean groups. This is some of the things. They've got to be active.
Right. But what if they don't want to?
They may not want to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a big thing. I agree.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They don't want to. But I've got to, okay, who significantly influences them? And sometimes we have to say, Mom, here's what we're going to do.
Right. You don't ask, right?
Here's the plan. Here's the plan for the day. Because really, they can't make a decision.
Right.
Because they just go into default. Mm. They just do the same thing over and over and over.
Yeah.
And you've hit on a group, though, that's really greatly underserved, and there's a lot of depression, and some of them are on medications that are creating depression.
Really? Wow. Yeah, that's true, right? Because, you know, you're older, you get medication. Because my mom is like that. The way the caller is describing,
yes,
my mom is like that too. She does absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. And even though she won't tell you she's depressed, you know by the actions that she is,
sure.
Right?
Yes, and we know that the physical movement and keeping them moving is so important.
Mm. Yeah. Well,
there might be some good ideas in the book as well. But
yeah, get the book, Healing Depression for Life, Dr. Gregory Jansen.
You know what, can I ask one more question?
Sure.
I'm curious to know, you know, she used to be religious, and she's kind of lost faith a little bit. Is it a good idea to bring religion perhaps back into her life to maybe feel less depressed because there's a, you know, big core, big community there, whatever else? What do you think about that?
If that's something that's certainly been important, I would reintegrate it. When you say religion or faith or the spiritual side of one's life, because also there can be some kind of end-of-life questions and issues. And it's a piece that we always include in the work that we do, just the whole area of faith. And I would plug her back in. If that's been a source of hope before, absolutely.
That's true.
I just wanted to thank Sam for having this expert on your show today. Fascinating. Thank you.
Absolutely. And thank you for calling and for listening. And we hope we can help a little bit. Good luck. So, yeah, I know exactly, and I didn't bring this up, but my mother's in that way, too. She doesn't move because, well, she's on a wheelchair, let's say, but she's got nothing to make her.
Right.
Yeah, you know, so I don't know what, yeah.
Yeah.
But at any rate.
Did you notice, too, sometimes for our elderly parents, having that relationship, just the meaningfulness when we contact them, we talk with them, that they know they're not forgotten,
right,
is really big.
I know. And you have to be with them and stuff. And that's what we do. We try to at least give our hope by being there. You know, I mean, my dad passed away and stuff. So, I can, you know, like the caller said, that can have a big, pretty big trauma on a
absolutely
on your mother or your father.
Absolutely,
you know, whatever.
Sam.
So, Gregory, thank you so much for joining us. How can people find out more about Place of Hope, contacting you? And you also have a website, right?
Well, the best place to find is just go to aplaceofhope.com.
Okay, that's
There's
easy enough.
Lots of resources there.
Right. And if you go to drgregoryjantz.com, and I guess if they just Google your name, they would find all
the
stuff.
Oh, you'll find me.
And you'll find 39 books. I mean, it covers just about everything here. And that's amazing about love and dependency and so much more to talk about parenting and really healing depression for life. And
I do want to say, Sam,
yes,
there's hope. And for those who are hearing our voice today and don't feel like it, mm-hmm. And that's part of what keeps me going is seeing people's lives change.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're doing a lot of great work, and we really appreciate that.
Yeah.
And I'll keep that in mind when I talk to people and they mention this, that there is actually a great solution in Seattle. Go look for the doctor.
That's
look
right.
for a place of hope. And there's nothing to lose there. I mean,
you
only to get your life back.
Yes.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining us.
Great to be with you today.
Of course. Have a safe trip back. Everybody, thank you all for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.